You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and welcome back to The B-Side. I know it's been a little while, but we've got something a little different for you today, but very, very special. I recently sat down with Kevin Hessen, who is one of our founding members of Blessed Hope and also a former elder. Originally, I recorded our conversation just to use pieces of it for a video project, but the full interview turned out to be too good not to share. Kevin's heart, his stories, and just his perspective on the early days of our church are such a gift, and I really think you're going to enjoy hearing from him. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Kevin. So what Sounds would you good. Say inspired the launch of Blessed Hope? Because we're looking at, 20 years now. Does that feel like crazy to you?
It does. It seems... Yeah, it just doesn't seem real. Time goes fast. I think if I think about it, when we first started, I don't think there was probably any one of us that wanted to start a church. That was not our intention at all. Our intention when we first got together was to just be together in fellowship and to sing songs and read scripture and pray and just be in fellowship together. And it just kind of transpired from there. But like I say, I don't think anyone was actually looking to start a church. I know for Deb and I, we were just looking to fit into another church, you know, and just keep moving on in our relationship with the Lord. And as I look back, there are times when I look back and think, man, all the work that went into that, I'm not sure I'd do that again. It was hard, but it was good. It was really good. You know, you think about, like, when we were starting, you know, we started from scratch. I mean, there was nothing, and we didn't want to be a part of a denomination. We had come out of a denomination, and we didn't want to be a part of that anymore, so we were going to be independent. And so then when you're independent, then everything is new. Like, you have to figure out what you believe. You know, if you hooked up with a denomination, all of that stuff is already laid out for you. But when you start new, you have to start from the very basic, like, what do we believe and what is important, and get all those things down on paper.
So you guys were kind of, in a sense, like, without getting into like the split at the Presbyterian church, but you guys were, in a sense, kind of like church homeless for a while there. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. There are some of us that went to a couple of churches, visited some, but then there were some that had just come out of the church and were like, what do we do? We don't have a church to go to. And we just want to be with the people that we've been worshiping with for years and years. And so that's what inspired the first meeting at Rogers Park. I think there were maybe 30 some of us that got together. And it was weird because it was April 10th of 2005. And so April 10th, you think of the time of year in Iowa, it could be snowing, really cold. But it was a perfect morning. It was really nice out there. And we met under the shelter, just an open shelter, and had nothing planned, but just, let's just get together. And so... So yeah, we didn't have church homes. We were homeless, and I think that's what another reason that we were inspired to get together.
That makes sense. What would you say the first year was like when the church was first launched? When you guys first decided, okay, like, I guess we're doing this. Actually, let me backtrack. When was it you guys discovered, like, I think, like, something's happening here. Like, this is more than just we don't know where else to go, so we're just going to meet up as friends and like brothers and sisters in Christ here. Like, when did you realize, okay, this is maybe more than what we were thinking?
I'm not sure I can say exactly when that happened, but we met at Rogers Park for a while. And then I remember after the first Sunday, you know, I was thinking we would just get together for a Sunday, and then we were going to go back to searching for churches. And somebody said, well, so where are we meeting next week? It's like, oh, we are meeting next week. Okay, so we met at Rogers Park again. And I think we did that for maybe just a few weeks. And then decided that it was probably a good idea to find an inside place. So that's when we ended up going to Tilford Middle School, and because it was middle school at the time. And we started meeting there. The first year was crazy, crazy busy. But I think probably after a few months that we met there, it was kind of like, okay, now we need to have a more permanent home. But we weren't ready to build or buy, you know, find a church building or anything like that. And so that's when we went to the cottage. So I think probably when we got to the cottage and we knew it was more of a permanent place, that was when we started thinking, okay, something's happening here that we need to start thinking a little more long term. But back to your original question too, that first year, man, that was crazy. You know, we called ourselves the Church of Tubbs. You've probably heard that before, mm-hmm. because we moved into Tilford with a whole bunch of tubs, and we had, you know, songbooks, and I don't remember what all music, you know, we had little CD players, and we would set up those things every week. And then the other thing that was really kind of cool, I thought, was that the leadership or the people, it wasn't elders because we didn't have elders at that point, but just people would step up and say, I will give the sermon on Sunday morning. So we had a variety of people that gave sermons. And it was very interesting because people that you wouldn't even think would stand up and, mm-hmm. and speak in front of people would get up and give sermons on Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. And of course, they weren't, you know, they weren't 50 minutes long, but they were good.
Not everyone can pull that off like David can.
But you know, so there was that part of the busyness, and then of course, when we got into the cottage and started thinking about, you know, more long term stuff. Then, you know, came the part where we got together and to decide what was important, what we believed, what we didn't believe, what was important to put in our bylaws and all of those sorts of things.
Is it at the cottage that you guys became like recognized with the state then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were the stages of Blessed Hope as far as where the church met and how they did ministry, how you guys did ministry?
Yeah, I think most of, when I think about ministry, I think most of it was inward focused. You know, like I say, we started at Rogers Park and then went to Tilford. And really, at Tilford, it seemed like I think, you know, we picked up steam there because it just seems like God's hand was moving us along. I remember getting counsel from Lowell and Victoria Fink. We asked them about, you know, starting a church and what their thoughts were on it and that. And so they came in and talked to our group. And that was really good. Good to get some outside counsel. At the time, Pastor Jim was not with us. I mean, we were all on our own. He was still at the church, at the Presbyterian church. He didn't join us until when we were at the cottage. I'm not sure how many months down the road that was, but we had at that point we had already started kind of the process. I guess we must have applied for the 501c3 or whatever. And so we were already in the process of getting things rolling. We'd already spent time meeting. I remember meeting at the community bank, the old State Bank community room downtown, and, you know, talking about, just discussing. I mean, it was really interesting, and sometimes it got a little heated. There were people
similar to our meetings now. No, something's never changed.
Yeah, that's
right. People always are people.
Yes. Oh, yes, we are sinful people. Oh, but yeah, so Pastor Jim was not with us at that point, but we had gotten the ball rolling. And then, but anyway, back to your original question, I think ministry was inward focused. I mean, we needed a lot of healing, and we needed, we just needed each other. And God was really gracious in pulling us together and giving us a purpose and letting us know it was okay just to, I mean, even though we were forming a church, which was a really big deal, I think him letting us know that just to be able to relax and enjoy his presence and just seeing people come forward and working and having one goal and one purpose to start this church.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying you didn't have children's church, or did you have like nursery care or anything?
Well, we didn't. We had Sunday school after church.
Okay.
And we did have, we didn't have children's church. That's correct. The children were in service with us at the time. But then after church, then we'd split up into rooms, and we had adult Bible studies, and we had the kids programs for kids too.
Okay. So, and we kind of touched on this a little bit, but, how did the early worship services and Sunday mornings look compared to what they are like today?
They're so different. So different. Like when we met at Tilford, it was interesting because we played contemporary Christian songs. That's what we sang, which is not what we had come from. Which was interesting that's kind of where we landed. But like I say, we were playing using a CD player to sing. We didn't have any live music, no drummers, no bends, no Rob Cromers, no Perrys or anything. But we didn't even have a piano at Tilford. But when we went to the cottage, then we got a piano. We had a drummer. I'm not sure when Tyler came. Because Tyler Hinkle was a drummer here, but I can't remember. I remember him being at this church building, but I don't remember if he was at the cottage or not. But so the worship, as far as music goes, had changed. We were playing more contemporary music, but I can't remember if it was once a month on a Sunday night, we had a praise night, and we just, there again, used a CD player and played songs, and we had, what was that called? I'll think of it maybe. We had a name for that night, but it was just singing praise music and praying and that. That's what the worship was, and then, like I said, the preaching at Tilford and the beginning of the cottage was just people that volunteered to do it until Pastor Jim came. And that was really neat when he came, because I think it was kind of cemented together what we were doing. I feel like it was just the next step. Like we had gotten to a certain point, and it's like, what do we do now? We really need a pastor. And then Pastor Jim came, and so it's like God provided what we needed every step of the way. And like I said, none of us started out I've never talked to anybody that said, oh, I wanted to start a church. Nobody ever thought that. But it's really cool to see how God's has moved this church along every step of the way. And it's so cool to see the pastors that he's put in place. I think if you talk to any of the people that were instrumental in helping to start the church, they would all say the same thing, that we wanted nothing more than a church that was based on God's word and spoke truth. We definitely wanted truth spoken. I think that's God's blessed us with that. We have had pastors that have been unwavering with that, and we've kind of been there where in a place where it seemed like that maybe wasn't always happening, and we don't want to go down that slippery slope, and so it's good to see how God's blessed that. And then when we look at church, when I go on Sunday mornings here and I look around and I see the people that are there, that most of them aren't even original people that have ever, that were here, but to see how God's used this whole thing to bring in people and just see his hand at work with new people. And it's really cool. That's the other thing too, you know, I think about, like when we were at the cottage and decided we were ready to build, mm-hmm. and we started looking for land, and there was a piece of land down by Trinity Lutheran. It was an acre, and they wanted $120,000 for it. And we said, ooh, that seems kind of stiff for an acre of land. And so started looking around, and here, you know, they found this 5 acres for $60,000. And it's like, holy cow, this is great. And so, you know, so we did it. And then there were so many people that were so, they were so dedicated to what we were doing. Once we decided to build, then it was like everybody's on board. And, you know, and so I think financially people were willing to give like way above and beyond. It's just amazing to see how God blessed that too, you know? So,
yeah. What was it that made you guys decide to build?
I think we're at a point where we realized that you know, we had our 501c3, we had our church status, we had all of that, and we were outgrowing the cottage, and it was like, okay, do we go find another place to rent or buy? And we went around and looked at buildings that were available in town to rent or buy, and just decided that wasn't the way to go. We wanted to build. You know, we felt like that was would make more sense in the long run. So, yeah.
Aren't you glad you guys bought that? Like you, all this land, like that is so crazy to me. Like, cause we have so much room to expand if we, you know, if we get there someday. But yeah, cause we would have been so limited in other areas of town and we'd be looking at like at another building change or something, but we've got plenty of room to expand out here.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the same thing like with the cottage. When we kind of felt like we were wearing out our welcome at Tilford, and they didn't tell us we had to leave or whatever, but you know, we'd been there a while, and it's like, are we going to keep living out of tubs? And so we started looking around and thought, well, we'll go to the Braille school and maybe we'll meet in their auditorium. So we talked to them about that, and they said, well, we've got this building over here that's not being used. Would you be interested in that? So we went and looked at it and said, yeah, this would work. And it really needed paint and all of that. So we painted the whole inside and cleaned it all up, and, you know, hadn't been used for a long time. And so it was fun to just do stuff like that, to get it ready and make it ours.
The thing I will never forget about the cottage is, because like if you haven't been in there, you like walk in and then we had chairs on one side of the room, this big long, it's like a long, like rectangular kind of shaped room. There were chairs on one side, chairs on another side, and then Pastor Jim preached in the center. Yes. And we were all just looking at each other.
Yes.
I remember the first time I, because that's when, you know, we started going. Yeah. So the first time I visited, I was like, well, this is different. But I kept coming back. So didn't deter me.
I remember that that building was where Blake, where our kids went to preschool. I remember Blake got in trouble one time because he pulled the fire alarm.
That tracks. Because now he's a fireman.
That's right.
That's the best. I love that. In my sorting through pictures, I've come across some great pictures of Blake.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's fun. What were you, some of these are David's, well, these are all David's questions. He helped me with these. What were you thinking and feeling as the building was being built?
It was big. It was fun to watch it being built because for me personally, I was able to be on the team that was helped to design it in that. And so, you know, when you do something like that and then you see it actually come to fruition, it's kind of fun to watch that. But it was neat to see people come in as it was being built and be really excited about it. You'd just be standing here and people would come in and say, oh my gosh, this is so cool. You know, and, or they'd go around and say, well, what's this? Or what's this going to be? And all of that. So, it was neat. It, for me personally, it was probably more formal than what I would have probably just put up a metal building, you know, and had something really simple. But there are people in our church that really, they wanted something that looked really nice and was a little more formal. And like I say, I was on the team and I was okay with that. I mean, it was okay. Yeah. And when we originally designed it, it was a lot bigger than this. Like if you take the plan that's, I don't know where that, if that's still hanging out there. At one time it was hanging out in the hallway, but anyway, if you take that plan, it was expanded. Like the wings here were expanded out twice as far and the sanctuary was much, much bigger in that. But the price tag came in like twice as much as what we actually paid for it. And, we just said, we got to downsize it somehow. And so they pulled it back. So you can always add on to the wings. You can always add on to the sanctuary and that. So, but anyway, that it was exciting to see it go up.
It's interesting to hear you say like how big it was, you know, and like, did you ever think that we'd be bursting at the seams the way we are?
No, we never dreamt that. I mean, you know, when we started, I don't remember how many people came over. Do you? I don't
know. It definitely wasn't like full. I mean, it was somewhat.
Yeah. So yeah, I never thought that it would be full. I remember Pastor Jim put a sign up that said it was, I think it said spa capacity, 250 or something like that. And I said, what? This is between us. I said, why does it say spa capacity? And he said, well, that's the number of people that you can have in here. And I said, well, that's for like a spa. That, you know. Mm-hmm. And anyway, the capacity was 250. Okay. We had a sign up that said spa capacity 250.
Nice. Country club capacity.
There you go.
What were you feeling during the very first service here? I'm assuming you were here.
I'm assuming it was too. The first service here, I don't know if I can tell you exactly the way I felt. I would assume that I was pretty excited and just like, wow, I can't believe. Like you mentioned earlier, the very first service we had here was just on the OSB and it wasn't finished and we had lawn chairs and that was pretty cool. But when it was finished, you get that fresh new smell and that. And then you think, oh my gosh, Lord, look what you did. And to just see the people excited, and you could actually breathe in here because the cottage was so full. So, yeah, I don't know if I can tell you exactly the way I felt, but yeah.
It was exciting.
Good. Yes.
What are some of the challenges that you guys faced during the early years, and how did God lead the church through them?
I think one of the biggest challenges was the decision to have men-only elders. I remember that meeting very vividly.
What's that? Was that the cottage then?
No, that was down at the community room.
Oh, okay.
When we were talking about beliefs and that. And I just remember talking about this, the biblical reasons for men-only elders. And we had obviously come out of a church that had men and women elders. And so that was a point of division for some families.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. And so there were families that left because of that. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the first, it was a bad feeling, you know, because it was like you're a family together, and then you make this decision, and then some people say, I don't agree with that, and we're going to leave. And it's like, oh, that's terrible. You know, you really felt bad about it. But I really felt like we were doing what needed to be done, and just laying out what we believed, you know, what we thought Scripture said. And so that was a big challenge. Other than that, I think just the typical challenges of like, where do we go and how do we do this? And then, you know, what's the next step, God? Mm-hmm. Okay, we got to go find some land. Okay. And what's the next step? And it was kind of like relying on the manna for the day, you know, we know you're going to provide, but we just want to be obedient. And so I think just the timing, trying to figure all of that out was a big challenge too. So
what would you say are key moments that marked key moments in time that marked significant growth or change for Blessed Hope?
I think some of the things I've already said, as far as I think, like with Pastor Jim coming, I think that was a monumental time. I think it cemented together a lot of things. I think building the church building was a huge growth step. And then, obviously, once Pastor Jim had decided to move on, then, you know, with Pastor Matt coming, I think that was, you know, that was kind of a different vision a little bit. I mean, Pastor Jim, I think, was good at really getting us settled in and keeping us really unified together. And then when Pastor Matt came, was more about growth without outside of the church, and pulling people in, and youth programs, and
which is all important stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Long-term vision and things like that. And then once he left, I think Pastor David has been really good at taking the baton and moving on and doing a great job in his messages. And there again, just doing different programs, different things with what we have. And, so I think each one of those steps with different pastors and that were growth steps. And then, of course, there was growth all the way, you know, from the beginning. Like, I remember giving sermons, and, I mean, that was a huge challenge for me personally. For personal growth, that was a big deal.
I'm ready for another Kevin sermon.
No, I think I lost that. So, and then just the different challenges all the way of, about the building and then programs like what one of the things that we haven't talked about yet, but as elders, you know, we talked about ministries, like what ministries are we going to have? Well, we had all of these, you know, tons of ministries before from where we came from. Mm-hmm. So do you continue those? And we had decided as elders, no, we don't. I mean, the ministries we're going to have are the essential ones. Obviously, we want kids programming and those sorts of things. But all the other ones, we felt like we're not going to just have a ministry and try to find somebody to lead it up. We felt like it was important that it was God-directed, and if somebody felt like the Holy Spirit was asking them to lead something, then they would bring it to the elders, and then the elders would talk about it and decide if that was a ministry that we felt was important. And if it was, then we'd let that person go ahead and lead it. So we didn't have ministries unless God brought people forth to lead that ministry. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about what God is doing in our church now compared to where it started?
I think when it first started, we were kind of a family. We knew everybody. And now as I look at it, I look around, there are a lot of people I don't really know. I know who they are, but I don't really know them. So God's brought in so many new people, and it's exciting. It's exciting to see them come from all over. I mean, who would have thought we'd have people from Manchester, you know, or Dyser or LaPorte or Van Horn or Cedar Rapids, you know, who would have ever thought that that God would draw on people from those areas? So that to me is exciting. It's exciting to see, people that don't know the Lord that are coming to him because of the things that are going on here. And I think that's attributed to what God's doing here through his people, through the leadership and through just everybody. So it's exciting to see the church being full and being full of people that I don't know. And I always thought it would just be the ones we knew and their families, but it's not, and it's great.
What are your hopes for the church during the next 20 years? Ooh. I should have sent these to you in advance. I apologize for that. I totally forgot to do that.
That's all right.
So you had time to like think about them.
Oh, the next 20 years. I would say the biggest thing for me is that we would stand in God's truth, and that we would not for any reason stray from that. And if that happens, then everything else is cool. Yeah, it'd be awesome to see our church grow in numbers. I'd like to see it continue to grow deep instead of wide. I think that's the way we're headed right now. And yeah, it'd be great to have three services or whatever, but if the people are shallow in their faith, then who cares? So, yeah, deep is what I would like to see.
I think that's good, and I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to think what else? What was one of your favorite memories over the last 20 years?
Actually, I think a couple of my favorite memories. One would be the faith in action. I think that's really cool. You know, there's sometimes when I think, oh my gosh, another faith in action. I don't know if I'm ready for this. And then when you get going on it, it's so awesome. It was so fun last year getting to know people that in our church that I didn't really know before. So I think that's one of my favorite memories are the faith in action things. And I'll be honest with you, I think one of my very favorite ones is the baptisms we had at our house last year, at our pond. I thought that was just fun. It was a great day. It was fun to fellowship together as a church family, and then to see the people that got baptized. And then there were people that got baptized that weren't planning to get baptized that day, and the Spirit just moved. So it was fun to see that too. Mm-hmm. And by the way, our pond is getting cleared up and the geese are gone.
That's good. Oh,
I was almost embarrassed that day.
No,
you came. It
oh
was
my
such
gosh,
a mess.
No, it's so, I love your property. It's so beautiful out there. It's so nice. Yeah. Is there anything else that you can think of that you feel like we didn't talk about?
I don't think so, other than I'm really glad for the people that were willing to step forward and to go on this journey. I think of, you know, some of the older ones that are still with us that, you know, the things that we were doing were not what they grew up in a traditional church, and we kind of went away from that in a way, but they were so faithful. It's like they really felt like this is where God wanted them to be, and they've just really been faithful, and I think that's so cool.